When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You are listening to the internet's only CFL free agency podcast. I am Joel Gasson with John Fraser.
The only one?
As usual. You heard me.
I think for once your intro may not be correct for the first time in like 5-6 years.
I'm sure there's been some others that I've
placed over.
Where I've not gone with what we're opening with, where we talked about what we're actually talking about.
Fair enough.
So yes, we will plenty to get to in this episode, as always. CFL free agency opened, if you happen to miss that for some reason. Lots of names go in different places, as always. The Riders made some moves, some most of which we approve and we like. A couple that I think kind of raise some question marks, but won't necessarily sink the team by any stretch of the imagination. So we'll get into that. John wants to talk a little bit about how the Bombers have handled their offseason. So we'll talk about some of that as well.
Yes.
Of course, though, this past weekend there was another football game that happened.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles absolutely dismantled the Kansas City Chiefs in a way that we have not seen them dismantled since Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did them in the Super Bowl a few years ago.
He did, yes.
Yeah, and the game is what it is. We're not even here to talk about the game. There's like 100 million podcasts out there talking about what happened in the Super Bowl if you want to listen to that. For us, from our perspective, as you know, John and I have both been relatively harsh, but I think fair, on the CFL and TSN over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if someone at Fox decided, hey, we got to do worse than these guys. Because for as harsh as we've been on the CFL and TSN, and sort of one of the main cruxes being the desire for change after a broadcast that's been the same for 35 years, sometimes change for the sake of change just isn't good.
No.
Because NFL broadcasters have this weird thing every 4 years or 5 years, whatever, how many networks do the Super Bowl now. Whenever they host the Super Bowl, they tend to change their graphics package.
Yes.
And Fox kind of did. They changed their scoreboard. They changed a score bug. They changed a few other graphics and decided that it was just going to be text on a screen. But on the same end of that, so they have this super minimalist thing on one end. And then the other end, they kept their really large, like, comic book touchdown graphic.
Yes.
And a few other really over-the-top, New Orleans-type graphics specifically for the Super Bowl, obviously. And I was like, I don't know what you're trying to accomplish right now. Because
no,
I think their old stuff was way too far one way. Now the new stuff, at least that they've created, is so far the other way that it's just, it's a mess.
It was. I think one of the best memes I saw, and me being an Excel nerd, was somebody literally made the score bug in Excel. Like, that's how easy it was to make. And I didn't even notice.
They didn't want to pay a guy to come up with whatever new graphic they were going to do. So
So it said you just got giant block lettering at the bottom. Like, I think we're in today's day and age where you could go get away with a minimalist look, but you can't have the giant block lettering. The thing I didn't even realize now... This is my first world problem. I managed to kick my children off of my large TV in my basement. So you texted me, you're like, I can't believe the player stats are just floating there. And I'm like, what? Like, on my big TV, I didn't even notice that, like, the quarterback stats were just there.
They're in the corner of the screen. Yeah, like they used to pop out, like, the side of the score bug and you could see it.
Yeah.
So, like, they still basically do that, but without any graphic to, like, show it. They're just there in the corner of the screen.
Right, or do, like, the good broadcast equipment gets in the National Lacrosse League where they get, like, the little scroll of in-game stats and stuff like that. I like that, too, right? But you're right. Like, it was just kind of there, and it faded away. You couldn't really see it. It didn't blend.
My favorite was some they put up, like, graphics of like, stats of the game. Yeah. And, like, it was rolling, and the background, the cameras were panning over, like, the Eagles in a huddle, and you couldn't read any of it.
No, which was wild, because, again, you had, like, a strange drop shadow. The one that got me, too, was the simplicity of, like, the numbers. When it was 0-0, the zeros were too close of a font to the yard markers.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, it looked weird. Like, if there was an uncanny valley for score bugs, I think that would have been it. But as bad as the graphics package was, I can sit here and confidently say I am better than Tom Brady at something.
Well, you're also better at Tom Brady than at staying married.
That's fair. That I am very, and probably, and presumptively curling as well.
I would have, yeah.
I mean,
he's a natural athlete, so I'll give him some time, and he might get to your level, but yeah.
But, I mean, and we have to give him some time to get to my level as a color commentator, because, yes. Like, all jokes aside, I don't think I'm a great color guy. I think I'm passable with some funny references, but he was so boring.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they bump you on to TSN Plus and NLL Plus. You're not doing the NLL championship game on TSN.
Oh, no. I am not worthy of doing it. I'm not going to even pretend I am. So the thing I found interesting, though, with Brady was he didn't know, like, as a color commentator and as a play-by-play guy, you have to know what to do when you get into blowout mode, right? It's not a written rule, but generally when the score is one-sided, your call doesn't matter. Breaking down the plays doesn't really matter because somebody's getting shit-stomped, right? And I learned to do this a lot while doing Hilltops broadcasts.
And
you see some broadcasters that are really good at it, that they know to step away from calling the game straight up to maybe draw a story from your color guy, maybe tell an anecdote from, you know, Super Bowl week. Talk about these kind of things. Don't talk about the game. And this is something that Glenn Suter is very bad at in the CFL, and that's what Tom Brady reminded me of, was like, because to me, after that early touchdown in the third quarter where it looked like the Eagles are going to run and they went deep, it's like, yeah, we all know this thing's over. This thing is so over. Let's not try to pretend that there's a comeback coming. And Brady sounded like Suter and going, well, you know, if they just do this and this. No, Tom, it's over. Tell us a good story. Like, it's interesting with Brady because he was on with Colin Cowherd. And he talked about when he played the Kansas City Chiefs and how he knew their playbook better than him and went on how that was a superpower. That was great content. But he comes on the broadcast and it's like, yeah, they're down 5 scores, but they should still come back. Golly gee, football, sports. Like, that's the shit, especially in a blowout mode, you want to hear. That's the thing that made Tony Romo such a hot start, and then he kind of went the other way, was Tony was able to digest the information, talk about it, and then tell a funny story. Now, I think Tony is still trying to find his middle between serious analyst and comedian at times, but he's somewhere getting there. I mean, unless you hear him talk about Mahomes or Allen, because just shut up about those, Tony. But the other thing, too, I didn't like out of Brady was, when was Mahomes Patrick? Like, again, everybody called Ben Roethlisberger Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Roethlisberger is not an easy name to say. It does not flow off the tongue. So I get why people just went with Ben. Mahomes is easy. Mahomes, yeah. Mahomes, 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 Mahomes. It's an easy one to say. So, oh, Patrick needs to do this. Patrick, what are you doing? We get it. You know him. But, like, and like, I see this as a guy who's had my pee-pee slap for calling guys occasionally by a nickname in a game. Not the whole fucking game. Occasionally calling Jarrett Smith the Winnipeg Jet has got my pee-pee slap by the NLL before. Okay? So it's just one of those pet peeves of mine. It's like, say Mahomes. Like, it just, the whole broadcast was a mess. And then I had to concede my TV back to my children.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching, in my basement, I have 2 TVs on the go, a small, like, 32-inch, then I got my big one. So I was watching on mute on the small TV, and you said the post-game show was quite a shit show as well?
Well, yeah, like, they came back from break, and it was, you know, the panel guys were talking for a second, and then they were like, hey, we're going to throw it down to Terry Bradshaw for the presentation of the trophy. And then all of a sudden you hear one of them like, nope, not till after the presentation, not till after the presentation, a couple of times. And then there was silence for a bit, and then they finally actually did the trophy presentation, and then they started talking to the owner, and I was like, oh my gosh, guys, this is day one. This is like day one stuff.
Well, and especially with it being a blowout, you know, there can be chaos in like an overtime or last second.
No, but again, they should have been prepared for what was going to happen here like an hour before it did.
Well, 1,000,000%. You know your principal characters, you know where they're going, and you know who you've got. But again, you could have spent the fourth quarter going, okay, we want this guy here. You guys are going to line up here, blah, 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 blah. So,
especially in the NFL where you know the first guy you're going to talk to is the owner. And yep. this is not a commentary on how they handle that. That's just fact, and it is what it is, so whatever. But this is not a spot where you're trying to figure, you know, it's like, okay, like, it's coming down. I still don't know who the MVP is. Okay, understandable, maybe to a degree. Right. But you know in the NFL the owner's going to be there. So that's who you're talking to first. And then you have a second to gather yourself. And maybe 108-year-old Terry Bradshaw shouldn't be the guy down there. But that's a whole other thing, I guess.
Terry Bradshaw, who doesn't do any...
They have two world-class sideline reporters on the sideline. Maybe put them in there. Like,
that's,
come on.
That's exactly it. You're right. The best two sideline reporters in the business work for Fox. And we saw that on Sunday night. Yeah. And they both get shuffled to the side. Did you catch much of the pregame?
No. I guess there was a little bit was on my father-in-law's, but I didn't watch a ton of it. What stuck out, the one thing I do remember was the weird, like, Jimmy Johnson, here's my football life AI piece.
Yeah, that was
weird.
That was super
weird. But it was weird for, and then, like, later, no one, like, would admit if he was retiring or not. It's like, why are you running this if you're not 100% sure he's done?
Yeah, that's almost the way of saying, it's like when you walk into a meeting with your boss and HR is there as well. You know it's what's happening, but let's all just say it. What I found interesting, and we'll stay out of politic talks on this podcast, but everybody that listens kind of knows where we stand. The North Korean level of propaganda with the fake cheers that were piped in when they showed Trump. That was like, I get it. You work for Fox, so I'm sure the news arm was like, hey, go to obviously canned cheering. Like, it was so obviously, like, you actually hear it cut in and cut out, right? Like,
I missed that part. I think we're eating supper then. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I had it. I had it just on my iPad as I was waiting for the game to start. I was finishing up cooking some chicken wings. And yeah, it was like jarring and very obvious that, like, you had your crowd noise, you had cheering, everything. And then it was like this, like, hard cut, pure cheer, hard cut out. It reminded me of North Korea. Next thing you know, everybody's going to be bouncing around like they're playing Wii Sports. So all in all, terrible broadcast, which is great. I know you don't write about the broadcast anymore, and I'm contractually obligated by my part-time job to kind of bite my tongue a little bit. But
yeah, I'm not going to say I'm going to commit to a full season of it, but there have been rumblings of change coming to the CFL on TSN this year, so it may be worth a look or two throughout the course of the year if they're actually doing something different. So
the best change would be getting rid of Davis Sanchez and stop sending him places. I'm sorry. The man adds nothing to anything, and you can tell everyone that works with him despises him.
Yeah.
Just watch the tape. Like, that's all I'm saying. Like,
lots of people have been added to lots of places over the last week in the CFL. As the tampering window has come and gone, free agency is officially open, names are being put to paper, etc., etc., etc. So we will get into that and a whole bunch more. But as always, John, for the Pile of Bones Brewing Company, what is in the glass this week?
You're not going to believe this, Joel. No? You brought up some cold brew Americano Stout for the Bond Spiel.
Yep.
They're still in my fridge.
Yeah, I can kind of believe that.
Right,
it's not a beer that you're going to pound 12 of, so it's going to sit there, actually. So, yeah.
No, exactly, which is quite nice. It's the perfect, like, came home from work, I was up a little late curling last night. I'm like, I need a coffee, but I'm doing the pod, so I need a little booze. It's just perfect. It's nice. It's cold. It's sat in for a couple days, sat in the fridge for a while. Yeah, definitely not one, like you said, that you're going to have a dozen of, but definitely one that that has its niche, little bit of caffeine in it, wakes you up a bit. All in all, it's all good. Meanwhile, for after the cold brew Americano Stout, something I could drink a dozen of easily, the Lucky Bastard Sassoonberry Iced Tea.
Yes.
As my humidifier kicks on.
Can't even hear it. You're good.
Okay.
At least I can't. Maybe someone else can. I don't know.
All right. Well, I shut it off anyway. So.
All good. For me, I still have some of left of my case of Nokomis Long Lake Lager. Just a refreshing, easy, crisp drink. Probably my favorite sort of generic lager from locals on the market.
Yeah. Yep.
So just easy to drink and makes you believe it's not minus 50 out. So
yes, that is the beauty of the home office / studio being tucked into the corner of my basement without any windows.
Yeah, so the tampering window has now closed, and the free agency window has now opened.
I knew that's where you were going to go. I love it.
The Riders, a little busy, but not overly. Basically, I think more or less sticking to what Jeremy Odi said before, was they were heading into this thing, was he didn't expect to be very busy. Not like the Edmonton Elks, who announced like 12 guys on the first day of the tampering window, because, you know, that definitely all happened that day.
Totally. Those were in a top drawer of a desk someplace.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so, I mean, the main signings and the actual, like, free agency signings, I think, you know, the heavy lifting Jeremy Odi did before, I think obviously bringing in, like, the likes of Shane Ray and Mike Rose will be huge additions to the defensive line, especially Mike Rose. I think
I love that signing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. I think he was probably going to follow a guy he knew from Calgary. You know, I think the Riders are probably in the running there. The Elks are probably in the running with Killam, as apparently Mike Rose is a pretty good Mark Killam guy. So there's a few other options probably on him for the table as well.
But did those other options have hot breakfast? Because apparently Saskatchewan's got hot breakfast.
Well, I think everyone but Calgary does, because they're the only ones that were knocked for that.
I know, but I love the fact that a man's CFL free agency decision came down to the plate of breakfast he got.
I don't know if it actually came down to it, but
it's a factor.
It's a factor. Well, I mean, that's just why Calgary hasn't been able to sign a lot of guys.
Right. I mean, but he literally, the day he signed, he put out a post having pancakes and bacon.
Well, I mean, they're all poking fun and, you know, bringing up the quote that Three Down Nation pulled out of former Stampeders at the Grey Cup, by the way. So you're welcome, everyone, for that joke.
That's right. You're welcome for hot breakfast.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think especially after you watch the Super Bowl, and I think, you know, we think about how this team kind of played last year, the defensive line was fine but not amazing, so you could use a bit of an upgrade, I think, especially in the middle a little bit, as good as Micah Johnson was. Mike Rose is just younger and on another level there to sort of take over that anchor spot. And it's important, I think, if Corey Mace is going to continue, and there's no reason to believe he won't because this is what he's always done. If he's going to continue to be a heavy zone guy in coverage, you got to be able to get home with four. Yeah. Yeah. And so they had to beef up that defensive line to make that happen. It cost them the likes of Miles Brown and Christian DeBeer and, you know, those kinds of guys who signed elsewhere, Albright. But, you know, they were good players, but not irreplaceable. And so I think ultimately they upgraded, and that is a spot that will make them much better in the long run, and it could really help their defense, especially if, you know, zone does what it does sometimes and you get beat. But ultimately it's hard to complain about those moves. It was interesting too when, you know, the window opened and a couple days in we had learned that Peter Godbrew was going to sign with Ottawa, and everyone was like, man.
Yeah, there was a few panic texts from Rider fan friends of mine going, what is happening? Excuse me, that's a bad one.
Because he was obviously the anchor of the offensive line the last 2 years, did a very good job at center. Well, as we record this today on Wednesday, February 12th, it seems the reason why Godbrew was available on the open market was proven, because they signed from the Calgary Stampeders yet again. Which, it's weird to pluck the worst team in the league, but apparently there is still some talent there, but, well, you know.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sean McEwen, the Canadian longtime, you know, multiple-time All-Star, has signed, so he will obviously be the starting center for the Riders next year. They should be able to roll out three Canadian offensive linemen again. The ratio is looking strong in that regard, even across the board. And those two signings, to me, are sort of the big ones in free agency that I think will make the most difference for this team next season.
Certainly. And you made a great point, Gas, about the Super Bowl. You watch the Super Bowl, that Eagles defensive line ate. They didn't even blitz, and they had pressure all the time, right?
Well, and I mean, if you just have to watch the Argos, too. That's how they've consistently been able to beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yeah, exactly. And Bombers. We'll get to that in a minute. The other thing with Sean McEwen, he's durable.
Yeah.
Right, 17 starts last year, 132 career games since being taken in 2015. So that might have been the knock on Godber, right? He's not a Band-Aid by any stretch of the imagination, but that's a guy that missed a lot of time. You're getting a guy in Sean McEwen that doesn't miss games. I have a real wood desk that I'm knocking on, too. But again, hey, hot breakfast. What can we say? Good little pancakes, bacon, eggs, maybe some pierogies if you're feeling spicy, a little farmer sausage. Saskatchewan does hot breakfast correctly, right? So... it's the most important. I get it. You can be like Edmonton and go out and sign, and even Hamilton to a degree, go out and sign all the flashy names, and you know those are the ones that are going to get the attention and the eyeballs. But you sign the guys on the D line, you sign the guys on the O line, and that's how you win football games, especially when you have a 74-year-old quarterback who's very good at picking apart defenses and getting the ball out quick. So you're right; those are the two main ones. Love them both. I think they're both 10 out of 10. They filled the needs. I was very panicked when Godber left because he is very good. But I like it. It is very Jeremy O'Day. It's not going after the flashy name. It's going after the names that are going to win you football games, which it gets a little annoying sometimes with the discourse online. Because you're not going out and signing Eugene Lewis or Kenny Lawler or guys like that. You're getting the job done with guys in important positions. And people are like, he hasn't done anything. Shut up.
Well, and I mean, this has been Jeremy O'Day's, you know, sort of the way he's operated.
Yes.
Since he's been GM. And he, early in the year, like basically through January, depending on their cap situation, sometimes a bit earlier, you can expect them to lock down the guys they want to re-sign.
Yes.
Basically, if by, I would say, mid-January, if Jeremy O'Day hasn't re-signed a guy, he's probably not high on their priority list to re-sign.
No.
Unless there is a disagreement, unless, of course, it's important to clarify as well. I'm guilty of this too, obviously. Everyone is. When we talk about players leaving, we tend to frame it in a the team didn't want them anymore scenario.
Right.
But it is also important to remember that the players have agency in this as well. And for all kinds of reasons, they may choose to leave a team as well, even if the team wants them. So it's important to remember that it's a two-way street sometimes.
Yes.
Not that I have any information about any specific player. It's just it often gets framed as a team decision to let a guy walk when sometimes a player, for whatever reason, just decides they would also like a change of scenery. But regardless.
And especially too, Gas, because in the CFL, like, let's face it, you're like a Sean McEwen contract offer, he's going to have probably offers on the table between $2,000 and $250,000, right?
Yep.
For guys like you and me, yeah, $25,000 is quite a bit of money. But for these guys, you're right. It comes down to the other things, where they want to be, stuff like that, because they're all basically being offered the same money everywhere they go.
Yeah. And so I think, but ultimately, yeah, like the guys that Jeremy O'Day can and will re-sign basically get done by the middle of January.
Yeah.
This year, a few names became free early. That's where like the Mike Rose and those types that he was able to sign. And so, you know, that sort of thing happened. And I think that was more his big free agent moves came before free agency even really opened, as it normally does. And then, yeah, he obviously brought in Sean McEwen, and there's some other offensive linemen, a couple other guys here or there. Nothing too...
Philippe Gagnon,
yep. That's a good depth move, obviously,
to
bolster up the sort of the Canadian depth on the offensive line there. The other sort of free agent signing, the actual sort of free agency period signing, is, of course, another former Calgary Stampeder. It's a weird offseason that they've signed so many former Stampeders, but anyway.
Right, but again, the league is, again, it's Saskatchewan breakfast, man. It's again, the league is, there's so much parity. Like, you have more and more football schools putting up more and more football players, and the second best league in the world has 9 teams, right? So you're going to have guys that are really good players on really bad teams that could be a valuable asset, right? So
the other one was, of course, quarterback Tommy Stevens. And
okay, we got to credit Ariel Zur on this one. One-time Greencast podcast co-host. What was the line again she used on her email?
The email said something along the lines of the writer signed the rushing touchdown leader from last season.
Which
I mean, it's not incorrect.
It's true.
But,
but it was one
but
of those.
It's a masterclass in having to put a positive spin on something.
That's
not that signing Tommy Stevens is this egregious error that's going to cost them, you know, a chance at the Grey Cup or anything like that. Like, this is really getting nitpicky. Like, I'm going to be completely honest. This is getting nitpicky, but that's where kind of we're at with this roster right now and the decisions that Jeremy O'Jea generally has made through his tenure is I'm not as wild over this as some people are. And I say that understanding that the Saskatchewan Roughriders have struggled at short yardage for seemingly forever. And that this, in theory, fixes that. Bravo.
Yeah, I understand. And honestly, you could tell by the release, that's how they're framing it. Like, if you actually read the release from the club, they specifically mention right after saying, hey, we signed this guy. He's a short yardage quarterback. They've got his third and short conversion numbers over his career. He's moved the chains 60 of 62 times on third down sneaks. Like, would you like that third spot to be somebody that could maybe develop into something?
Yeah, that's kind of like, I think the Hamilton Ticats last year proved, and the BC Lions started doing it a little late in the year too, that we don't need a quarterback to do this.
No, God,
like,
no.
It's the year 2025. You have other big men on the roster. Use them. You have a starting running back that you're paying $160,000, we believe, still. I don't know if AJ Ouellette renegotiated or not, but
I hope he did.
He's out there, or at least previously, I assume, hopefully, Andrew Harris has talked him into stopping. He's out there squatting 700 pounds.
Which is not great for a running back if you want, you know, speed.
But in a specific scenario of pushing a pile forward 1 yard, I think he can do it.
Yes.
So like I don't think there is a need to use a limited roster spot and a limited quarterback spot on your game day roster on a guy who can't do quarterback things.
No, exactly.
Like, if Tommy Stevens, even if he was never going to develop into even a decent backup quarterback, but you knew had the ability to somewhat throw the football, okay. But I think, you know, Dave Dickinson, say what you will about him, I think the guy can generally spot at least decent quarterback talent.
Yes.
And if he did not trust Tommy Stevens to throw a football, I don't think there's any reason Mark Mueller and Corey Mace have a reason to trust him to really throw a football. Anyone around the Calgary Stampeders that I've heard talk about him says, yeah, he can't do it. So, like, I understand he's very good at this. He will probably be great at it. He might even lead the league in touchdowns again this year rushing. Who knows? It may work out. He may score the game-winning touchdown in the Grey Cup. But is it still the best use of the role? I don't think so.
No. Remember the years where Nick Marshall was the short yardage guy?
Yeah.
And that allowed the Riders to dress an extra offensive lineman, an extra defensive lineman, an extra defensive back. It allows you the flex.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a way, like, if you have a guy already on your roster, I mean, you still have to leave a quarterback on the field for that play.
Right.
Because,
but there's ways teams get around it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you jet out, you know, you send Jake Mayer out to Zed or something and someone follows him and at least it opens up the hole a little bit, right?
well, that's exactly it. And you have that short yardage quarterback train that if Mayer is uncovered to pop up and throw, right? Like, you still have to cover him. Quarterbacks can catch footballs, right? So I'm with you, especially with a limited roster in the CFL.
Yeah, like I would rather like Jack Cohn be on the roster every day than a guy like Tommy Stevens. Because then in the case, even the scenario, it's like, okay, you know, Trevor Harris gets hurt, doesn't play a game. Okay, we know Jake Mayer is starting. We know Tommy Stevens is not going to be the backup in that game.
Right.
So if he's not good enough to be the third string quarterback in terms of who is in the order of playing the starting quarterback position, it's probably just not really worth doing.
No, absolutely agree. It is nitpicky, but
yeah,
you're right.
It's extremely nitpicky, and it's going to have absolutely probably no actual impact on their, like, his presence is not going to have any negative impact on their record, unless for some reason he completely falls apart and forgets how to do short yardage, which would be just his team's luck. Or, yeah, he, you know, blows an Achilles on the first play of the season or something. But
Or you put it out in the universe, he scores the winning touchdown in the Grey Cup.
I mean, probably. That's probably what's going to end up happening.
Make a note. Okay, if he does that for the first time ever, I want you to go back to this episode, the old Tim and Sid harp, to go back to that comment right there.
The other sort of signing that sticks out to me, not necessarily as bad, but I guess indifferent is maybe more the word, would be Tavon Campbell. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are really excited because, you know, this guy's in the NFL. He must be getting he was in the CFL for a bit before that and he was fine. He's definitely an upgrade over like Amari Henderson. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah.
But I just want to, even though he's extremely fast, or at least we assume he is, it's been 6 years. I want to cool the Jets on sort of the expectations for him a little bit, because we've seen a lot of guys with long-term NFL careers come back to the CFL or come to the CFL for the first time and not quite be the same. Yeah. Maybe not quite have the, you know, sort of full gear into it they used to have. So we'll see on that front. With the understanding that he is essentially a local guy, having played U Sports in the province. So yeah, there is a little bit of a different connection to the community here compared to, say, if he signed in like Toronto or something. But
yeah, or went back to Montreal or something like that. No, you're right. It is interesting with guys returning from the NFL, because I think on top of wanting, you always want to win the game. You're playing a sport, you want to win the game. I think a lot of guys are also trying, you know, kick it to that next gear to audition for the NFL. Because let's face it, Campbell has his nest egg now. He's got his NFL pension. He made enough money that he probably doesn't have to work again, right? It's not like you're going to see him, you know, selling insurance or car sales or anything like that to get by. So guy's playing for the love of the game. I respect that he could hang it up and instead chooses to play. Now, he's also lacking motivation because he's been to the NFL, right? And maybe Corey May seems like the kind of guy that can get you anybody to run through a concrete wall. So maybe we don't see that return from the NFL dip. I hope we don't, but you're right. Everybody's going bananas lands for a guy that has four career CFL interceptions.
Yeah, but I mean, as I said, at the end of the day, even 80% Tavon Campbell is going to be better than 100% Amari Henderson. So.
And if
he actually gets beaten coverage, you could probably actually catch the guy. So
there's definitely that. He is an upgrade over what they had, and with like the magical bonus $400,000 everybody has on the salary cap out of nowhere this year, definitely the kind of time where you can pay up for a guy like that.
Yeah. When we learned about this increase in the cap, it certainly made your team, John, the Blue Bombers, look interesting because. They've lost some guys,
yeah,
and they've made some acquisitions, but nothing huge. And the guys they've decided to keep have again been a little weird. Like, I mean, we'll give them credit. Like, they've decided it's time to move on from Adam Big Hill. I think that was, you know, an obvious and smart move there. They had to pick one of their offensive linemen, and they did that. But beyond that, it's like,
why are you getting rid of Drew Walutarski? Why are you getting rid of Kenny Lawler? Like, I don't understand any. If you're going to go in a rebuild, why are you bringing back Chris Streveler? Like, we talked about Tommy Campbell, a guy that can't throw. You bring back Chris Streveler? Like, I don't get it. If you're going to go rebuild, then you should have gone rebuild, and you should have done that when you still had Drew Brown on your roster. Instead, you brought back Zach Collares. We lost again in the Grey Cup. Mike O'Shea played Zach with one fucking hand, and there's no
Well,
direction.
They have Shea Patterson now, so it's all good.
Oh, great! Shea fucking Patterson! He's the savior because he's the greatest quarterback in league history. I have no idea what they're doing. That's at least Saskatchewan. You can see, you're like, okay, they're spending money. They're bringing back guys that are veterans, but still have meat on the bone, right? They're bringing back Micah Johnson. He's still got meat on the bone, right? They're bringing back Picton, right? He's a guy that always seems to come up with big clutch pass. They're signing McEwen. They're doing these things. You see the direction. Saskatchewan's going, okay, we're a Grey Cup contender. Meanwhile, Winnipeg's like, yeah, Drew Walutarski, you're kind of clutch for us a lot. Everybody in the community loved you. People, in fact, went to your concerts, and you probably would have cost us like $100,000, but fuck you. Kenny Lawler, you're the only reason Zach Collares looked good, so suck on these nuts and get out of here. Like, what are you doing? Like, the only good goddamn move they've made was re-signing Sergio, because you're going to need him, because your offense ain't going to do shit this year. Good now. Have a drink.
I really don't think Winnipeg's going to be that bad, though. Like, the pieces are still there. They're going to be fine. I mean, the West is...
I don't think so. I don't think so, though, because one of the pieces was, like, I look at guys like... Like, I get it. You had to move on from Big Hill. Mm-hmm. Big Hill was cooked. I don't know why the fuck they played him in the Grey Cup a couple years ago when he had one leg, right? It sucks. Adam Big Hill was one of the big signings that brought back Blue Bomber football, okay? Kenny Lawler, that's the one that... Him and Walutarski are the two that blow me away.
Well, I mean, the guys on Three Down talking about it, like, Lawler likes to chase the money, so obviously Hamilton ponied up, and that was that, so...
Fair enough, but, like, if you're Winnipeg and you're getting rid of Walutarski, you've got bonus 400 grand of the cap, pay Lawler. Like, he's the straw that stirs that drink, because Zach Collaros, to be successful, needs a deep threat. Zach Collaros, when he's playing at his best, when it's good Zach, it's a lot of play action, it's those short, quick passes, and then I've got one-on-one down the middle, lob it up for a guy. He's great at that. It's a lot like Russell Wilson, right? He finds that guy, gets the coverage, boom, he needs the deep. Who's the deep threat now in Winnipeg? Ontario Wilson? And I thought, okay,
he's
you're
in
letting...
the NFL.
Right. Yes, he is.
He signed with the Jets. So I guess it's Jarrett Stearns who they signed.
Yeah, because he did so much in Saskatchewan with a...
I mean, he looked pretty good with Trevor Harris at times.
Yeah, he did, but I just... I don't get it. Like if you're going to go young. Like... It's this weird middle ground for a team that's hosting the Grey Cup. It stinks of we ran it back one too many times, and now we're fucked. And there's a lot of speculation that no matter what, this is Zach's last season. There's a lot of rumblings out there that the dude's coming off his contract. He's been healthy, minus cutting his hand open, that this might be the end for Zach Collaros. So you need to start preparing for that, but not in the year you have the home Grey Cup. Like, what worries me... is you're right. The West is going to be like, you're gonna have
they're still going to be in the mix. I think they're going to be fine in that regard.
But that's the worst part. It's just being in the mix. Like, why be average? Either you are building towards a championship or rebuilding, right?
I guess.
I don't like being average. You shouldn't try to be average. You should try to be...
Poor baby. We made 5 straight Grey Cups, so we might be average for a year. Oh, how terrible.
Okay, I know.
You weren't supposed to complain for like 5 years still.
I know I'm not supposed to complain for 5 years, but I still, that passion is there, and I can't not complain. But when we lose a bunch of games, I can't not be chill. I can't be genuinely upset. Here I am being genuinely upset. But I want to see direction. Like, that's what I mean. Like, they've built up enough credit. Go through a full fucking rebuild. Like, just get rid of everybody that's old and let's rebuild this thing and be dominant again in 5 years, right? But you're right. They're going to be in the mix and they'll probably pull off a playoff win in the West semifinal against BC and be in the West final against Saskatchewan.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.